Chapter 29. It felt as though years had passed when I heard the door open and Melchett entered the room. He saw Hawes asleep in his chair. "What's happened, Clement?" I passed him one of the letters, and he read it aloud. "My dear Vicar, it is a very unpleasant thing that I have to tell you, but I know who is guilty of the crime. It is very painful for me to name a priest of your church, but it is my duty, and..." Here the writing ended. Melchett looked at Hawes. "So it's the one man we never even thought about." He went over to the sleeping man and shook him, at first gently, then harder. "He's not asleep, he's drugged." He picked up the pill box. "Has he?" "I think so," I said. "It's his way out. Poor fellow." But Melchett had caught a murderer, and he wanted his murderer punished. He picked up the telephone and asked for Dr. Haydock's number. "Hello? Hello? Hello? Will the doctor come round at once to see Mr. Hawes? It's urgent." "What? Well, what number is it then?" "Oh, sorry." He rang off. "Wrong number. Hello? You gave me the wrong number. Yes, give me 39. 9, not 5. And then, "Hello? Is that you, Haydock?" Melchett speaking. "Come to see Hawes at once, will you? At once, I say." He put the phone down and turned to me. "Where did you find this letter, Clement?" "On the floor, where it had fallen from his hand." "So Miss Marple was right about us finding the wrong note. But why didn't the stupid fellow destroy this one?" "It just proves he's guilty." "Listen, that sounds like a car." He went to the window. "Yes, it's Haydock, all right." A moment later, the doctor entered the room. He went across to Hawes and quickly examined him.
"I'm not sure that I can save him, Melchett."
"Do everything possible."
"Right. Well, I must drive him to the hospital at Much Benham. Help me to carry him down to the car."
We both did so. As Dr. Haydock climbed into the driving seat, he said,
"You won't be able to put him in prison. The poor fellow wasn't responsible for his actions, and I shall give evidence for him."
"What did he mean by that?" asked Melchett, as we went upstairs again. I explained that Hawes had been ill with sleeping sickness. "Always some good reason nowadays for every dirty action, isn't there?" But before I could disagree, there was an interruption. The door opened and Miss Marple walked in.
"So sorry, Colonel Melchett, but when I heard that Mr. Hawes was ill, I felt I must come and see if I could do something."
"Very kind of you, Miss Marple," Melchett said. "But how did you know Hawes was ill?"
"The telephone. You thought you were speaking to Dr. Haydock, but you were speaking to me. My number is 35.
"Well, anyway, there is nothing you can do," Melchett said, "because Haydock has taken Hawes to hospital."
"Oh, that is good news. He will be safe there."
She was looking at the pill box.
"I suppose he took too many of those."
"I think you should read this," I said, and gave her Protheroe's unfinished letter. She took it and read it.
"Mr. Clement, why did you come here this evening?"
I explained about the telephone call and how I had thought I recognised Hawes' voice. Miss Marple nodded.
"So, You got here just in time.
Don't you think, I said, that it might be better if Hawes didn't recover? We know the truth now and...
Of course, Miss Marple said. Of course. That's what he wants you to think. That you know the truth and that it's best for everyone as it is. Oh, yes, it all fits in. The letter and the pills and poor Mr. Hawes's confession. But it's all wrong. That's why I'm so glad Mr. Hawes is safe in hospital where no one can reach him. If he gets better, he will tell you the truth.
The truth?
Yes, that he never killed Colonel Protheroe.
But the telephone call, I said. The letter, the pills, it's all so clear.
That's what he wants you to think. Oh, he's very clever. Keeping the letter and using it this way was very clever indeed.
Who do you mean, I said, by he?
I mean the murderer, said Miss Marple.
I mean Mr. Lawrence Redding.